once again to another edition of American Exposé on Republic Broadcasting. I'm Chris Kerner speaking to you, I believe it's August 1st. I had a special guest today, and I decided to postpone her until Friday so we can get her book realigned and get that thing operational on the network so you can purchase her book. Certainly it's Phyllis Coey. Her son, John Coey, sacrificed his life in Rhodesia, knowing Vietnam was a lost cause. So she'll be with us on Friday, so you can look forward to that. She has a harrowing tale to tell as Zimbabwe, formerly Rhodesia, is in total chaos. The pledge drive, I've determined, is on. Every month, I'm going to contribute $100 to the network. I know, and I've done the research, listeners, what it takes to run a network. I've seen them come and go. I watched Jeff Baker's network come and go. I've seen Direction with Republic and how that happened. I've seen other things happen, and I see what it takes to make networks continue. And everyone listening needs to contribute $100 a month to this cause. This is the largest listening audience that we've had in a long, long time. And it's because of the sound quality and the thoughts of the engineering that John Stadmiller, with his experience, has put together here. A first-rate network that can really get to a lot of people. And this is the point. Put the right people on. And certainly Alan Stang being on this network, wow. I mean, this man's been around for years, and he should be supported in what he does, I'm sure. And I haven't even listened. But I do know of his experience in the younger days and the books he's written, because I used to quote from him. So it's very, very important, listeners, to support this network. The pledge drive is on continually, $100 a month from everyone listening. If I can do it, you can do it. I'm holding off because I want to purchase some products from the network, and I need to discuss that with them. I need to get some aronizers and Caliban soap comes to my mind. Whatever products are on the network, you need to purchase them as well, because that's what keeps things moving along. And $100 a month, everybody can afford that when the truth is at stake. Today I want to concentrate on the bottom line of what's going on. What is the bottom line of what's happening today? Where is it coming from? What is the first thing we need to do to restore our constitutional republic, which has been vilified by many, but it's better than anything we've ever had in the past? The 10 amendments are very, very vital and important and been trampled on for years, even more so now with Homeland Security in place. Homeland Security is, in my thoughts, to enforce all 40 chapters of Agenda 21. If you don't understand that, you haven't researched Agenda 21 yet. It's been in place for 13 years. It is the icing on the cake of the UN totalitarian system that was created in 1945. Since 1945, our soldiers have gone off to wars for the UN system. 54,000 died in Korea, 8,000 never to return. 8,000 POWs never to return, listeners. And from many sources, they were shipped off to communist China, Soviet Union, to be used as guinea pigs, according to Hans and Molina, and I do cherish his views. They built a crematorium in North Korea to do away with the bodies of our POWs, listeners. That's just Korea. Vietnam's another story, another UN police action. And the coalition today, what are they? The UN system, listeners. We'll be back to continue. If you have any thoughts on this, 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Lots to do, however. Stay with us. To American Exposé at Republic Broadcasting. That pledge drive is very, very important. $100 a month, listeners, is very, very important for you to do this, as whatever it is that is important to you, there is nothing more important than this network. And that's my feeling. Nothing more important than this network. Here we see on the front page dated yesterday, astronauts take spacewalk. It's astronauts and cosmonauts, too, you know. Don't forget the cosmonauts are up there. We've had a joint space program with Russia off and on since, the early 1970s, listeners. I mean, they were up in space together in 75, 74. But that had to be planned for long in advance. So keep in mind, our allying with the Soviet Union has been going on for a long time. It continues today. There's people that don't agree with me, and that's why we have the call-in number, 800-313-9443. You can blame Bush and his administration all you want, but think of the Clinton administration. Think of the Bush administration before that and the Reagan administration. Think of how KAL 007 was shot down with the number one anti-communist on board, Congressman Larry McDonald, that never received any publicity at all whatsoever from the Discovery Channel or any of these other channels that covered KAL 007 and the shootdown of that Korean airliner. And what happened to the people from KAL 007? It's embroiled in controversy, listeners. Continues to this day. Many people very upset. I'm sure Larry McDonald's wife is very upset about what happened. And this is the point. Documenting where you go is most imperative. You won't get anywhere unless you do. You won't wake other people up unless you do. And that's my main point. You've got to remember that with what we have, that the United States is the United Nations, the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF. And I keep pounding that home because that is in concrete. The Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF. And the alternate governor of the IMF is Alan Greenspan, or Greenscam, as Darren likes to call him. And Darren might even call in today. We might be joined by Darren. Or Dennis, who's put great information on the website. They're all invited to call in today to connect these dots. The Secretary of the Treasury, Title 22, Chapter 7, Subchapter Roman Numeral 15, Section 286. They talk about governors and executive directors, terms of office, alternates, terms of office, governor to serve as counselor, alternates, and associates. Compensation for services. It says here, no person shall be entitled to receive any salary or other compensation from the United States for services as a governor, executive director, counselor, alternate, or associate. So, the United States government, which is a federal corporation, is not paying the Secretary of the Treasury to be the governor, the U.S. governor of the IMF. Meaning his allegiance is to the U.N. system. Meaning our Treasury Department has been transferred to the U.N. system. And Alan Greenspan, being the alternate governor of the IMF, just takes us right back to where it should start, the Federal Reserve. I don't see any point in starting any further back if you want to increase our numbers. The key to the situation that we have today, listeners, is to not come off as conspiracy kooks. And, maybe you don't agree with me. I really don't care. You can agree or not. It doesn't matter. You can fight your traffic tickets and all this, but listeners, if automobile traffic was not regulated, I might not be here today and you might not be here today. And that's just the bottom line. A motor vehicle, an automobile, is very, very dangerous when somebody behind the wheel does not pay attention and does not have common courtesy in place. And many don't. Many do not. So I want you to keep that in mind always, that there is common sense to this whole situation that we have today. It is very, very important to keep this in mind. Here we see Dennis has done tremendous research on population reduction. And certainly we have this National Security Study Memorandum 200. World depopulation is top NSA agenda. And this, according to EIR, Executive Intelligence Review, March 10th, 1981. And they state that investigations by EIR have uncovered a planning apparatus operating outside the control of the White House, whose sole purpose is to reduce the world's population by 2 billion people through war, famine, disease, and any other means necessary. This apparatus, which includes various levels of the government, is determining U.S. foreign policy. And where are we talking about, really, honestly, listeners? The State Department, the Department of State. They're in charge of this. You know, we complain about migration below the border. And certainly there's reason to complain. And there, I've been observing and complaining for years. But once Mariana Fowler, Judge Mariana Fowler, overturned Proposition 187 in 1994, Proposition 187 in California was about not allowing benefits and medical benefits to illegal aliens. When the voters of California voted to allow that not to happen, in other words, the illegal aliens would not receive their medical benefits, which they don't deserve, they didn't show up to the medical clinics the next day. But Judge Mariana Fowler overturned the ruling of the voters of California. And that's because she's working with human rights treaties, she's working with international law, she's working with the Bar Treaty of 1947, and with those thoughts in place, Judge Mariana Fowler, with the UN system in place, had every reason to overturn the voting rights of the American people in California. It's insane. Once I realized that, I kept telling these people like George Putnam, Glenn Spencer, others, that it's the UN system. The migration is the UN system. And it goes through deaf ears. They don't want to hear this. If we eliminate the UN system and the State Department, my gosh, what a thought. No constitutionality for a State Department, listeners. But that's the point. So once again, this apparatus, which includes various levels of the government determining U.S. foreign policy, in every political hotspot, El Salvador, the so-called arc of crisis in the Persian Gulf, Latin America, Southeast Asia, and Africa, the goal of U.S. foreign policy is population reduction. And the targeting agency for the operation is the National Security Council's ad hoc group on population policy. Its policy planning group is in the U.S. State Department's Office on Population Affairs, established in 1975 by Henry Kissinger. That's right, Henry Kissinger. According to Hansa Molina, a Russian agent. I don't doubt it for the least. I don't doubt it in the least that Henry Kissinger is a Russian agent. Because of his demeanor and actions during the Nixon administration, the Paris peace talks, what a joke that was. All under the guise of the UN system. The CETO agreement, the Southeast Asia Treaty Organization, is what allowed that to happen. So this group drafted the Carter administration's Global 2000 document, which calls for global population reduction. And the same apparatus is conducting the civil war in El Salvador as a consensus depopulation project. Here you have the Contras and the Sandinistas. The Contras have been vilified. The Sandinistas, my gosh, Daniel Ortega, an outright communist. He wasn't a closet communist. He was an outright communist. And there you have this situation in place of these Hegelian dialectics that bring these things about. We're embroiled in Hegelian dialectics today, listeners. The coalition in the Middle East is a Hegelian dialectic. So understand this. According to Thomas Ferguson, he's the Latin American case officer for the State Department's Office of Population Affairs, the OPA, quote, "There is a single theme behind all our work. We must reduce population levels. Either they, that is governments, do it our way through nice, clean methods, or they will get the kind of mess that we have in El Salvador or in Iran or in Beirut. Population is a political problem, they say." Or this article says, once population is out of control, it requires authoritarian government, even fascism, to reduce it. The professionals, said Ferguson, quote, aren't interested in lowering population for humanitarian reasons. That sounds nice. We look at resources and environmental constraints. We look at our strategic needs, and we say that this country must lower its population or else we will have trouble. What does he mean by that? So steps were taken. El Salvador is an example where our failure to lower population by simple means has created the basis for a national security crisis. A national security crisis? You've got to be joking, listeners. No one wants to be under a totalitarian system. And that's what the United Nations brings to all countries, a totalitarian system. The government of El Salvador failed to use our programs to lower their population. Now they get a civil war because of it. There will be dislocation and food shortages. They will have too many people there. Wow. End quote. More on this and much more. The direction is yours today. I have a special guest on Friday that I postponed from today. Stay with us. We'll be back to continue. Called American Exposé. I'm Chris Gerner telling you, encouraging you, that if you want this to continue in the proper way it should be done, meaning a staff of employees to do the right thing, because it takes a staff of employees to operate a proper network. $100 a month is not going to break any of us. And so that's what you need to do, is contribute $100 a month. I'll give that address out as the program continues. Everybody listening, $100 a month is not going to break any of us, and it's going to keep this network in operation. That's the way I feel about it. And if this network disappears and the burden is too great for the people operating the network, there will be infighting, there will be conflicts. Just make this thing flow right. It sounds better than any network I've been on. And so keep that in mind always, listeners. Yeah, $100 a month is not going to break any of us. And that is very, very logical, in my opinion. This is a labor for freedom is what it's all about. The restoration of our freedom, restoration of a constitutional republic, which has been vilified by some, but we've never lived under it the way that it's been operated today. We've never lived under a constitutional republic. We were born into democracy. Here we see monsoon cleanup demanded. This is dated yesterday. Out of Bombay, India, hundreds of angry demonstrators blocked traffic for hours Saturday to demand restoration of drinking water and electricity and clearing of rotting animal carcasses after this week's monsoon rains in western India. Officials said the death toll could reach 1,000. And it could be more than that, listeners. What is it all about? Is this about weather modification? Is this about reducing the population of India, listeners? You've got to keep these thoughts in mind. Once again, what did Thomas Ferguson, the Latin American case officer for the State Department's Office of Population Affairs, say? Quote, there is a single theme behind our work. We must reduce population levels. Either they, that is governments, do it our way through nice clean methods, and that's birth control and abortion, I would say, or they will get the kind of mess that we have in El Salvador or in Iran or in Beirut. Population is a political problem. And once again, population is out of control. It requires authoritarian government, even fascism, to reduce it. The professionals, and this is a quote, said Ferguson, aren't interested in lowering population for humanitarian reasons. That sounds nice. We look at resources and environmental constraints. We look at our strategic needs, and we say that this country must lower its population or else we will have trouble. End quote, I would presume. No, we're still going on. There's no end quote to this. We continue quoting. So steps are taken. El Salvador is an example where our failure to lower population by simple means has created the basis for a national security crisis. The government of El Salvador failed to use our programs to lower their population. Now, what is he talking about? Our programs. Go to National Security Study Memorandum 200 on our website, AmericanExpose.com. America spelled with a K, not a C. Once again, what does he say? The government of El Salvador failed to use our programs to lower their population. Now they get a civil war because of it. There will be dislocation and food shortages. They will have too many people there, end quote. So once again, we go back to this article yesterday. Monsoon cleanup demanded from the Nation and World section. Rescuers found more than 100 bodies in the debris of collapsed homes Saturday, bringing the official death toll from the devastating floods in Bombay and the surrounding Maharashtra state to 853. They fear more bodies are buried in remote areas, and the death toll could increase by 100 to 150, said Chief Secretary Prem Kumar, the state's top bureaucrat. So we have angry residents blocking roads to demand the restoration of water and electricity supplies. Are they really demanding, or are they? I mean, well, here's the point. Is this weather modification in action? Here we see a moderate earthquake shook central Turkey today, yesterday, but no damage or injuries were reported. The earthquake with a preliminary magnitude of 5.3 shook the capital of Ankara, and residents could feel buildings slowly sway. Quakes are frequent in Turkey, they say. Now, listeners, I haven't even looked at yesterday's paper. I'm just thumbing through it as I'm reading this information from EIR. So I go back to this. Civil wars are somewhat drawn-out ways to reduce population. The OPA office, that's the OPA office, added, quote, the quickest way to reduce population is through famine, like in Africa, or through disease like the Black Death, end quote, of which might occur in El Salvador. Ferguson's Office of Population Affairs, the OPA, monitors populations in the third world and maps strategies to reduce them. What's going on in the Middle East mess, in Afghanistan, people? Of course, that's all about a pipeline, more than likely, and poppy growing. We'll be back to continue the broadcast. 800-313-9443, if you like. Otherwise, much to do. Expose. I'm Chris Gerner. This is the permanent place for this broadcast. At this point in time, as the broadcast continues, you need to support it. You need to support the network. $100 a month is not asking too much, listeners. $100 a week is not asking too much for the truth. You will get the truth here. You will receive the truth here. You will see my thoughts from my documentation and my research. And certainly Emerald is from another person that I'm working with. Unattractive.com is his website. That's unattractive.com. That's un-attractive.com. That's un-attractive.com. Unattractive.com. Well, he talks about Emerald, Environmental Management Exchange and Resource Alliance for Local Development. And they talk about the challenge of environmental management of cities and urban areas is becoming increasingly complex. Multiple sources of problems have multiple impacts on the short term as well as the long term. Local governments are seeking decision-making tools and support systems that enable them to build a comprehensive environmental management system that not only addresses these challenges, but also brings together all local resource slash stakeholders in the process. Much to do with Emerald. When you go to that website, and you'll see it come up, it will be a five-pointed star upside down, Lucifer symbol, and at the top, two stars, of that upside-down five-pointed star is the UNEP and the IETC. The UNEP is the United Nations Environment Program, and on the right is the ITC of Murdoch University. it's amazing. Urban-emerald.net. It's on the website, AmericanExpose.com. We'll deal with this as we can, but you ought to click on it if you have your computer handy. You ought to click on this and watch it load and see what it's all about. Its major impact on implementing Agenda 21. And so this is the way it is, listeners. So back to this EIR report from 81. Civil wars are somewhat drawn-out ways to reduce population, the OPA official said. And I'm repeating myself, but this is very important. Quote, the quickest way to reduce population is through famine, like in Africa, or through disease, like the Black Death, end quote, all of which might occur in El Salvador. Ferguson's OPA monitors populations in the third world and maps strategies to reduce them. Its budget for fiscal year 1980 was $190 million. For fiscal year 1981, it will be $220 million. The Global 2000 report calls for doubling that figure. The sphere of Kissinger in 1975, OPA was brought under a reorganized State Department Bureau of Oceans, International Environmental and Scientific Affairs, a body created by Henry Kissinger. This man needs to be held in public. He needs to be given truth serum to expose to the people of the world what is the big picture in place. Henry Kissinger, number one, would I call him a criminal? Is that going to get me in trouble? According to OPA expert Ferguson, Kissinger initiated a full about-face on U.S. development policy toward the third world. Quote, for a long time, end quote, Ferguson stated, quote, people here were timid, end quote. They listened to arguments from third world leaders that said that the best contraceptive was economic reform and development. So we pushed development programs, and we help create a population time bomb. Quote, we're letting people breed like flies without allowing for natural causes to keep population down. We raised the birth survival rates, extended life spans by lowering death rates, and did nothing about lowering birth rates. Well, don't you think the Catholic religion has a whole lot to do with that? The Pope, in his encouragement of breeding, In the countries south of the border of us, listeners? Don't you think the Vatican has something to do with this? And don't you think the Vatican is very, very institutional in all this? In breeding, increasing the populations? Quote, we will go into a country, said Ferguson, and say, here is your goddamn development plan. Throw it out the window. Start looking at the size of your population and figure out what must be done to reduce it, end quote. If you don't like it, if you don't want to choose to do it through planning, then you'll have an El Salvador or an Iran or worse, a Cambodia, end quote. According to an NSC spokesman, the United States now shares the view of former World Bank President Robert McNamara that the population crisis, quote unquote, is a greater threat to U.S. national security interests than nuclear annihilation. In quote, unquote, nuclear annihilation. I see. Quote, every hot spot in the world corresponds to a population crisis point, end quote, said Ferguson, who would rename Brzezinski's Arc of Crisis doctrine the Arc of Population Crisis. And that's a quote, unquote, Arc of Population Crisis. A very interesting Robert McNamara. I think he was Secretary of Defense during the Johnson administration, during the Vietnam War. He's another individual that needs public truth serum to public television. Yes, indeed. A lot of these people need truth serum to expose what in the world has been going on all these times. Listeners, it's amazing to have these directions in place. The call number 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443. Carol in Arkansas, welcome to the broadcast, Carol.
Good afternoon, Chris.
Yes.
I was just pointing out this week to some, in fact, a doctor, retired now, but, you know, he was just incredulous to believe that there really is a population control agenda. So I read him some statements by some of the elite globalists that are in the circles of policy making.
Mm-hmm.
One being that of Jacques Cousteau's remark in the 1991 UNESCO Courier, where he said, quote, in order to stabilize world population, we must eliminate 350,000 people per day. Mm-hmm. Now, they found out in March of 96, it was learned that Jacques Cousteau was the number one promoter of communism and the number one money raiser for the Communist Party worldwide.
Really?
Yes. Then you've got the co-founder of Earth First and now on the board of directors of the Sierra Club, Dave Foreman, with his quote, quote, one of my three main goals would be to reduce the human population to about 100 million worldwide. 100 million now, considering there's something over 5 billion now on the population. I mean, you talk about radical. These people are radical.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got Ted Turner's statement about, it was in the last Trumpet newsletter in 96. He said, quote, right now there are just way too many people on the planet. We need to cut the world's population from the current 5 billion to no more than 250 to 350 million, not billion. And then, of course, you've got the statement by Prince Philip in the article of from the World Wildlife Federation Fund, which he is head of, from the trenches in 1994, he made this statement. Quote, if I were reincarnated, I would wish to be returned to the earth as a killer virus to lower human population levels. And then you're talking about Henry Kissinger, and didn't he write, well, I know he did. I'm trying to remember and find the article about the Program 200 he wrote under Nixon.
National Security Study Memorandum 200.
That's it. And
it's on our website.
Okay. And it was about population reduction, and that was back in the Nixon administration.
1974.
And, of course, he was not the first communist, because we know that Harry Dexter White, Alger Hiss, all these people all the way back were inside
communists, yes.
Inside and in top level for the president advisory capacities, just as Henry Kissinger. So it really shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. And when you realize, I was just looking this morning through my library, and one of the books, Viral Terrorism by Jim Keefe, who was killed because he said too much.
And wrote too much.
And he wrote too much. And one of the things that he wrote about in that book was who manufactured, and he gave the definition of what bioterrorism is. It is live viruses that are meant to kill humans, plants, and animals. And he listed off all the nations who have them. And so it would lead one to believe that, yes, there is a population control agenda. So what does that tell us? Probably the very next crises, quote unquote, we'll have will be a deadly virus. Because they got to get number one, they've got to get control of the United States, and a sick people cannot fight. When you're busy trying to stay alive, it's kind of hard to fight the powers that be.
Yes, absolutely. Why do you think they want to reduce the population?
Well, the elitists have always, you know, it goes back to the Malthusian stuff that, you know, Margaret Sanger, who was a friend of Thomas Malthus and wrote for Hitler in his magazine, Race of Thoroughbreds, about population reduction and the need to get rid of these
useless eaters.
They call them useless eaters now, but then they called them human defectives.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, they meant, you know, anybody with any kind of a malformed anything, or you may be black, or you may be, you know, of some other nationality that they didn't approve of. And so, therefore, you were needless on this earth, taking up space, eating food. As a matter of fact, I believe Joan Vian quoted Catherine Bertinini in the Women's Conference in Beijing in the late 90s as having said that, yes, food is a control. We make no apologies for it. We will control human behavior with food.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So it should come as a surprise to no one when you see that Archer Daniels Midland, ConAg, and there'll be about four or five, it looks like, control the foodstuffs for the whole world.
Yeah.
Isn't it their trucks that go across the country that says, we feed the world?
Archer Daniels Midland?
Yes.
I believe so.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
We feed the world. And so they know exactly what they're doing, where they're going with it. We just need to wake up. And it seems like so many people, when you tell them these things, oh, I just don't think I want to even think about that. You know what I mean? They just don't want to even deal with it.
and nobody wants to deal with this. But
they're going to. That's what I tell them.
This isn't our problem. They created the problem for us.
That's right. But is there a population control agenda? Absolutely. And, I mean, there are many more people you could quote, like that, Dr. Day, who was speaking to doctors back there. And I think you've had a copy of that interview. I know Dr. Stan does, too, where the doctor that was in there, sitting in there, and, of course, they weren't to record or let anything that was said there that day out of that circle, and it was just doctors. And basically, he was talking about population control to these doctors. And so, yeah, the beat goes on, and should people just wake up? The evidence is everywhere around you. Just read it. I mean, they've said it. Kissinger opens his mouth frequently and lets out stuff like NAFTA-GATT was a necessary step to the New World Order. They had to bring America down to a third world economy because she would not go voluntarily into a one world government.
Yeah, they're very close to
breaking our back.
Yeah, they really are, aren't they?
They really are, and I think with CAFTA, that'll just about be the death knell.
Well, CAFTA and FTAA, that's South America.
I just point out, you know, I mean, you know, I was in a little shop yesterday and pointed out to a young lady who didn't know any of this. And then it was stuff just to tweak her curiosity and hope she'll go on and research some more. But I told her, I said, does it make any sense to you that we have a war on terrorism and yet our borders are wide open and they refuse to defend us from an onslaught that is an absolute process of overthrowing this country? We are under siege. We are under attack from foreigners coming in across our borders, and our government does nothing about it. They've deliberately understaffed the Border Patrol. They have maligned the citizens, minutemen who go down there who try to help the Border Patrol and calling them vigilantes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's ludicrous. And she looked at me, she says, well, that makes sense. I said, yes, it does.
Mm-hmm.
We should be calling our congressman and haranguing them daily about it.
Well, it's certainly human rights treaties that allow this to happen at the border. And when the chaos multiplies to the point where it's very, very offensive, what will they do but bring troops from the Ukraine under the NATO guise to quell the problem at the border? Because all our troops will be overseas. Defending
yes,
our freedom
exactly.
overseas.
And that's part of the plan. I think that is all part of the plan.
By all means.
And so I asked her, I said, why would they produce something as unconstitutional as the Patriot Act, which really only restricts us law-abiding American citizens when our border is wide open? And that really made her think. And she really looked at me, you know, so I think maybe she will start questioning things that are told her, you just don't accept it. As the way you heard it on CNN, because they're feeding you propaganda. I don't know, Chris, have you talked to Glenn Spencer lately? He was on Dr. Stan the other night, and he was talking about flying up and down the border within the last week or two, and that the Mexican military had piles of machine guns, and their Mexican, he said it was definitely Mexican military, and that mm-hmm. the guys were, they had shovels, and they were digging along the border there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He said, I don't know what they're doing, but they're doing something.
I don't know what they're doing. Well, I know what they're doing. They're ready to create chaos.
It sounded to me like they're entrenching, does it not?
Absolutely. They're ready to create chaos. And the point is, we're going to have a border dispute. The UN's going to deal with the border dispute. The State Department's going to allow it to happen. And we will have foreign troops on our border because our troops will be expendable overseas.
Exactly. Well, I think this is all, again, goes back to that State Department document, 7277,
mm-hmm.
and the deliberate destruction of our military, because now you've got people that are beginning to say, I don't want to go over there and serve in this war, you know, that doesn't seem to be going anywhere with no purpose and based on lies. And so they're going to have increasing problems with recruitment and everything. And so I don't have any problem thinking they're going to have that we may have a draft because they can't really get them otherwise.
Carol, I appreciate your thoughts.
Thank you.
Thank you
for being
there,
Chris.
Thank you very, very much. Carol from Arkansas, listeners, I'm sure she'll pledge $100 to keep this network going on a monthly basis or a weekly basis for that matter. Carol knows the importance of this broadcast network. Stay with us. We'll continue. Listeners, I used to have the fastest 3 hours in talk radio. I seem to have the fastest 2 hours in talk radio because the first hour is almost over. I just cannot even believe it. From the Associated Press, dated July 31st, listeners, economist blames aid for Africa famine. In Niger, a desert country twice the size of Texas, most of the 11 million people live on a dollar a day. 40% of children are underfed, and one out of four dies before turning 5 years old. And that's when things are normal. Throw in a plague of locusts, a familiar spectacle emerges. Skeletal babies, destined bellies, people too famished to brush the flies from their faces. To the aid workers charged with saving the dying, the immediate challenge is to raise relief money and get supplies to stricken areas. They leave it to the economists and politicians to come up with a lasting remedy. One such economist is James Shawati. He blames foreign aid. Quote, when aid money keeps coming, all our policymakers do is strategize on how to get more in, quote, said the Kenya-based director of the Inter-Region Economic Network, an African think tank. Quote, they forget about getting their own people working to solve these very basic problems. In Africa, we look to outsiders to solve our problems, making the victim not take responsibility to change, end quote. Keep in mind, listeners, weather modification, drought inducement, a reality. Absolutely so. Keep in mind the tsunami bomb developed in 1944. This is Darren Weeks' documentation and information, who has his own broadcast and his own website, darrenweeks.net. It's on the website, americanexpose.com. Much valuable information there. But this whole scenario of this tsunami at the end of the year, in my opinion, had to have been set off to bring all these prominent directives in place over there and to build sustainable communities. That's been talked about already. Bill Clinton in charge of tsunami relief. People, you've got to be joking. Bill Clinton in charge of tsunami relief. I'm sure Joan Vion would have something to say about that. Back to this article, moving the aid can be nightmare itself. Africa's good roads are few and often pass through the front lines of civil wars. Oh, my. But Shikwaki notes an additional problem. Even African countries that have food to spare can't easily share it because tariffs on agricultural products within sub-Saharan Africa average as high as 33%. There's that 33. 33% compared with 12% on similar products imported from Europe. Quote, it doesn't make sense when they can't even allow their neighbors to feed them. They have to wait for others in Europe or Asia to help, he said. We don't have any excuses in Africa. We can't blame nature. We have to tell our leadership to open up and get people producing food, end quote. Nature, of course, does bear some of the blame. Recurring drought is a part of life in Africa. I see. Well, why not make it rain in Africa, people, like we made it rain in Vietnam to flood the Ho Chi Minh Trail to keep the supplies from flowing from the north to the south. It's really funny about Vietnam. You think about the Civil War. What do? Blockade. We did a blockade of the south. So armaments and weapons and supplies could not come from Europe to aid the Confederates, the freedom fighters of the southern part of this United States at that time. We never blocked the supply line from North Vietnam. We never cut off the Soviet Union and Communist China from aiding North Vietnam. Oh, man. The obvious directions are so in place. We'll be back to continue with the second hour of the broadcast. You want to get involved, 800-831-3943.